New York State's ban on fracking appears to be official. DEC, the Department of Environmental Conservation, has released its finding statement on high-volume hydraulic fracturing. Joining us to discuss the state's action is Walter Hang, president of Toxics Targeting, based in Ithaca. So, Walter, what's your reaction?
I'm just thrilled. I'm relieved. I'm happy for everyone who worked so hard for more almost 7 years to safeguard New York from shale fracking. And I believe that this is very likely the biggest environmental victory in a generation. So I commend all of the listeners in the Southern Tier and all around New York State who have followed your work, who have just put so much effort into this amazing achievement. It couldn't have worked out better, I don't believe.
When we last spoke, which was just a few days ago, you still had doubts that this would actually happen after several months waiting since the cabinet meeting that the governor held about a week before Christmas with the DEC chief and the acting health commissioner at the time. You still weren't sure that this was it.
It is too true. In politics, the proof is in the pudding. The devil is in the details. Until you read the actual document, you really don't know what they're going to do. But when I read this document, it was really amazing because, let me just read the key conclusion, quote, based on unavoidable adverse environmental impacts and uncertainty regarding the science surrounding high-volume hydraulic fracturing and its potential impacts to public health and the environment, the department finds that the best course of action is to select the no-action alternative. Selection of the no-action alternative means that the department will not establish a high-volume hydraulic fracturing permitting program, that no individual or site-specific permit application for wells using high-volume hydraulic fracturing will be processed, and that high-volume hydraulic fracturing will be prohibited in New York State, close quote. So when I read through this very, very long, detailed finding statement, the most delicious of all the ironies is that all of the arguments that we originally made, that the moratorium on shale fracking shouldn't be lifted, that there were massive wastewater problems, that there was inadequate regulation of conventional gas and oil extraction, that there was insufficient wastewater treatment capacity in New York, there were thousands of abandoned wells that could cause immense problems, were spelled out plain as day in the finding statement and affirmed by DEC, very likely because they're going to need those arguments to defend their shale fracking prohibition decision if there's litigation and it has to be resolved in court. So this really worked out well, where they basically accepted all of our arguments, and it's there for everyone to see, and that's why this finding statement is going to be very difficult to overturn.
You no doubt have seen the reaction from Karen Moreau of the American Petroleum Institute. She's in charge of the New York branch of that organization. She said hydraulic fracturing is a proven 60-plus-year-old process that has been done safely in over 1 million American wells. She said surging production of natural gas is a big reason that U.S. carbon emissions now are at near 20-year lows.
See, the amazing thing is the timing of all of this. As we know, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency just recently put out a study on water resources, basically said we didn't see enormous widespread problems, but that didn't include New York State. And one of the first instances that's referred to in the finding statement is the infamous Dale Fox drilling disaster in Freedom, New York, that I originally documented using the DEC's own data. Quote, there was a reported incident in 1996 in the town of Freedom during the drilling of a conventional oil and gas well. There, an underground blowout of natural gas occurred when the wellbore became pressurized by a strong gas flow. This underground blowout caused methane migration that affected properties approximately 1.5 miles away. In addition, methane detected in the shallow subsurface after the event, including in residential water wells in a pond, resulted in the evacuation of 12 families from their homes, close quote. So DEC acknowledged the inadequate regulation of conventional gas and oil extraction, and almost all of those wells, just so your listeners will know, have been fracked, so there have been problems. They acknowledge massive wastewater spills. They acknowledge that basically, you know, there's no place to get rid of this fracking wastewater, whether it's the flowback or the produced water. So Ms. Moreau has her position, but it basically has been rejected by the Department of Environmental Conservation. And if the most exhaustive public health and environmental assessment of shale fracking ever conducted says it can't be done safely in New York, then it shouldn't be allowed anywhere in the rest of the country. And that's why this is a precedent-setting event, and that's how come we work so hard to make sure that not only were New Yorkers protected all across the state, not only did we want equal protection, particularly for residents of the southern tier who might have been allowed to be guinea pigs for allowing shale fracking to begin, but we believed that because we had achieved so much public support for making sure that this was going to get the greatest scrutiny possible, it would ultimately provide a very viable model of effective citizen action that could be replicated from coast to coast. And that's exactly what we're now going to try to do.
We are speaking with Walter Hang of Toxics Targeting. One other question that comes to mind is, does New York's decision formalizing the fracking ban, do you think that it also may have some impact outside the United States? The debate over fracking is continuing and is heating up elsewhere in the world as well.
Oh, there's no question that this momentous decision, you know, by Governor Cuomo and his colleagues at the DEC and Department of Health is going to reverberate from coast to coast and all around the world. And I believe, you know, that basically there is an enormous amount of fossil fuel extraction going on. But traditionally, this has been very likely the least regulated industrial activity in America and all across the globe, mainly because oil and gas extraction most typically happens in the absolute middle of nowhere, really arid places like Texas, Saudi Arabia. But when you begin to do it in places like New York and Pennsylvania, where there's more surface water that could be impacted, and this was acknowledged by DEC, where there are more people who are living around the areas that are being fracked, it suddenly becomes a whole new world. And that's how come I hope that Governor Cuomo, who deserves enormous praise for this courageous and wise decision, will now rectify the shortcomings of the regulation of oil and gas extraction in New York State, which were admitted to by the DEC in the final ESGEIS, and he should now impose strict liability, private right of legal action, and financial surety, so that if, heaven forbid, there is extraction going on and people are harmed, they have to be made whole. We've now heard all the promises. Oh, this can be done safely. We've never had problems in New York State. We've been doing it for years. And this finding statement prohibiting shale fracking represents a 180-degree complete reversal, you know, in DEC's original assertion that, you know, this is like no big deal. We can go forward. And I believe that the only way to make sure that this industry is properly regulated is that they have to be held liable if, heaven forbid, there are problems. And that should apply to all the pipelines and all the trains and all of the activities related to this very, very industrialized effort. So I believe this has revitalized the American environmental movement. I believe that Binghamton has been the epicenter of literally a worldwide phenomena.
Well, you point that out, too, and it's for some people, maybe they forget about some of the high-profile events that happen in Binghamton as far as hearings being held here, and in conjunction with the hearings, protests with people, many people on both sides of the issue showing up right here in Binghamton, just a couple of blocks from where I'm standing.
Well, you know, when I was first on your show, you know, I really, the truth was, I didn't really know who you were. I didn't know who WMBF was. And then everyone said, oh, everyone listens to that show. You got to get on that show. And then you invited me, and I think I said that this was the essence of democracy. And I remember saying at some of those events, you know, that this is the epicenter of shale fracking. And so it is true. There have been maybe on the order of 150,000 gas and oil wells fracked from coast to coast, but there have been unbelievably severe problems. Notably, in the area south of Pittsburgh in 2008, where improper disposal of shale fracking wastewater prevented 850,000 people from drinking public water drawn from the Monongahela River. So New York, I think, got it right. You got to make sure it's done properly, you know, before you allow it to happen. And that was the wisdom of former DEC Commissioner Pete Grannis, current EPA Region 2 Administrator Judith Enck, who at the time was the governor's chief environmental advisor, and Executive Deputy Commissioner Stuart Gruskin. They said, we're not allowing shale fracking until we adopt the proper safeguards. And my strategy from the very first day was, we're going to simply make sure that no inadequate final supplemental generic environmental impact statement is ever adopted. And with the finding statement yesterday, that's exactly what we achieved. It doesn't mean that this issue won't be revisited in the years to come, but this is a stunning victory. It is a model for the rest of the country, and it was driven completely by citizens at the grassroots level.
One final question. Do you think it's inevitable that the fracking supporters will take this to court?
You know, I don't know if they will or they won't. I think that this is a very bulletproof document. You know, from my biased perspective, they integrated right into the finding statement, you know, those public health review conclusions, you know, that the science is inadequate. So I think if the industry decides that they do want to challenge this in court, I am absolutely sure that they are going through this with a fine-tooth comb. I think they're going to have a very, very tough time. And the bottom line is, the moratorium on shale fracking is simply continuing and continuing and continuing. So there really is no mechanism to basically, you know, allow shale fracking to begin. And the finding statement makes that even more formidable. So I think that we have a situation where we're no longer in danger of jinxing our shutout. I think we have won, at least for the time being. Shale fracking is prohibited everywhere in New York. We're going to remain vigilant. We're going to stay focused. We're not, you know, assuming that everything is fine. And I think the industry basically got beat because they were out-organized and because they never anticipated the amazing citizen uprising led by people like former Binghamton Mayor Matt Ryan.
That's all the time we have. We've got news coming up next. Walter Hang, thank you. 10 o'clock, WNBF, Binghamton.